They pay people now. All right, we'll put a pin in the Texas football conversation. We got to shift gears. I see him
Nice.
in the waiting room. We got to talk about one of the three remaining undefeated teams in college baseball, the Texas Longhorns, coming off that weekend sweep of the Bruce Bolt College Classic in Houston, getting set for another game tonight against Houston Christian. And joining us now, as he does each and every week on Bucky and BK, the legendary lifetime Longhorn, Greg Swindell. Zeke, thanks so much for the time, my friend. How are you today?
Yeah, sorry, I had to cancel on you guys yesterday. My public service announcement for this week is get your hearing checked.
I've had
bad hearing, wore hearing aids now for 7 years, and it just keeps going down. So I'm in cochlear implant territory, just a matter of when, and I can't wait because it drives me crazy that right now, for some reason, I used to use headphones, but now without headphones, I can hear you guys pretty good. So if I look down, I'm adjusting my app on my hearing aids.
So, Greg, let me ask you this. I have a wife who has a hearing aid, and it's been tough on me because I'm the guy who comes down the stairs talking, and she's like, please come into to where I am and talk to me. And has it for the last couple of years been tough on you because it feels like you're left out of conversations? I guess when you're with a group sometimes when you don't hear that well, and I'm starting to understand what her frustration is like because I use this voice when I'm talking, whether it's radio or YouTube, I'm a little bit louder than I am in person. I tend to kind of tone it down, my indoor voice, and it drives her absolutely nuts. I mean, how does it feel like sometimes you're out of the group when people are talking like that?
Yeah, I've started to isolate myself.
I
can't hear conversation. And I don't want to continue that. My wife, these hearing aids is just across my left one. So she can be on my left side, but I hear it in my right ear. So I'm looking over here, but I'm like, where are you? And she starts to play jokes on me now. Like she'll do it on purpose now.
That's just cruel. That is just cruel right there.
I'm glad you got that. You're getting that fixed, man.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Greg. Well, let's talk some Texas baseball. Let's look back at this past weekend. I mean, the Longhorns, they continue to pass every test with flying colors. They played their first ranked opponent of the year Friday night against Coastal Carolina, took care of them 8-1, win on Saturday over Baylor, the win on Sunday over Ohio State. I mean, your biggest takeaways from what you saw from this Texas baseball team down in Houston this past weekend?
Yeah, I was able to keep up a little bit with them. I was up in Arlington doing the Amagi Bank Classic, which had four ranked teams there. That was a great weekend, but just going back and looking at the box scores and looking at the numbers, I mean, they're checking all the boxes. I mean, they're doing everything right. I think in the near future, we might see Mr. Valantis move up. I talked about him probably being a Friday guy. You can't have your Saturday guy going three innings and four innings. He's got to go longer than that. And Valantis, for some reason, just was out of sorts. That could be just from not starting for a whole year and now getting back into that rotation. He's gone seven innings. And I think it caught up with him for a couple starts. I mean, still didn't pitch bad, but he wasn't his typical self. But you saw Borba get hot, Becerra getting hot, and Tenney hasn't really got hot. He's hit some long home runs, and he's got the most walks on the team, but he hasn't even started hitting the baseball. So I love what I see offensively, defensively, and the mound. We talked about it last week. I mean, they went to last weekend first in the nation in ERA. And now, look at this, 52 hits and 37 walks in 93 innings. That when you look at stats for pitching, you look at the whip, walks and hits per innings pitched, they don't add up. They're below the innings pitched, so they're giving up less than a walk and a hit per inning pitched, and that's just amazing. I don't care what time of year it is.
What's incredible when you watch this team bat, Greg, they hit the ball hard. I mean, from top to bottom. I mean, from the first hole all the way to the ninth hole, guys just don't hit a lot of little bloopers. They hit to keep the ball in play that way and make the defender have to make a play. It seems like a big thing with them, and they run well. Boy, do they ever hit the ball hard.
Yeah, I mean, they're buying in. You hear Sloss talk about playing clean baseball. It's throwing strikes, making routine plays, and putting together quality at-bats. That's exactly what they're doing. They're going up there. Yeah, you're going to strike out. Yeah, you're going to make an out, but they're not one and two pitch outs. They're taking four pitches, five pitches, making pitchers work. And when they hit it, as you said, I mean, that ball Robbins hit, I saw in video, but they said it was the third longest home run ever in that park. I think Pujols, though, the ball in the playoffs off the edge a few years back might still be going. That one might hadn't been registered yet. But they hit the ball. They're buying into each other, and you know what? The big thing is, it looks like they're having fun. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And we talked last week. I said I don't see a loss until maybe game 18, and they're still on pace. They got 11 in a row, and their biggest test before conference will be when they have to go to San Marcos. The Bobcats are playing really good baseball right now, and in Texas, you know, they have a tough time playing down in San Marcos for whatever reason. This year might be different, but the way they're playing, I mean, the losses are going to be few and far between. I also saw a stat between softball and baseball, 33-1.
Goodness.
33-1 is the record for those two teams. Good things happening on the east side.
Amen. Amen. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here. Yeah, I mean, Jim Schlossnagel, Mike White, both doing tremendous jobs coaching up those two programs. You know, I want to ask you this, Greg. You brought up Luke Harrison a moment ago. And, I mean, last year he was Mr. Reliable, right? Just an innings eater every Saturday. Started more games than any other Longhorn in 2025. Just felt like you could rely on him. But so far, a couple of starts this season just hasn't been the same. He's dealt with some command issues. I think he had five walks and a hit batter in his start against Baylor on Saturday. You know, conference play is only a couple of weeks away. It feels like the season just started. But in two weekends, we'll be talking about Ole Miss coming to town. If you're Jim Schlossnagel and Max Wiener, you know, how long do you give Luke Harrison on Saturday before you actually make the move you're talking about, and maybe, you know, move Dylan Volantis up from Sunday to take that spot?
Now, this is just my opinion, but I think we've seen the last of him on Saturday. I mean, you're going to, like you said, you're coming into SEC play, and Ruger, I mean, is pitching out of this world right now. He's got the most laid-back personality. You see him winking at the camera coming off the field. I like that stuff because I feel like I was the same type, just loosey-goosey out there on the mound and having fun. And Volantis is going to be the guy that the kicker. If he moves up to Saturday, now you got a chance to win the first two games of the series. And even if you lose the first game of the series, you can have Volantis with a really good possibility of winning that second game of a series. So I think that's the way it'll set up. And I don't know. This is just my opinion. But yeah, you have to. You can't go out and walk five and hit four. And I mean, that's always been my frustration with Harrison, is that he can cruise, and all of a sudden, second or third time through the lineup, he just doesn't have it. I love Luke. I think he battles when he gets out there, but for some reason, the pitch count gets up, the walks and the hit batters, free passes. You can't afford to keep doing that, especially in the SEC.
Yes, Greg, over the weekend, I mean, you saw some pretty good baseball yourself. Was UCLA was there, correct?
Yes.
How good are they?
They are the number one team in the nation, even though they have two losses. Very fundamental. They got the number one, the reigning player of the year, Rock Schalowski, at shortstop, who's legit. I mean, he can play short. He's a captain on that team. They were down by two on Sunday afternoon, and Schalowski came up with two outs and two strikes and hit a two-run home run to tie it up, and they end up winning the game in extra innings. But the biggest surprise, and we all know this, is Will Gasparino. He came in the weekend with 11 hits, and eight were home runs, and only one single and two doubles or something like that, and then hit four over the weekend and no cheapies. So his stance is different. He's standing taller in the box, getting not swinging off the plate. But I said on the broadcast, I said he did this the last couple of years as well. And then conference play comes around and he starts chasing out of the zone. He stops walking as much. But I'm happy for him. He looked really good at the plate and really good in the outfield. And UCLA's a really good baseball team. Mississippi State was there. Their SEC, Texas, I believe, plays them, goes to Starkville this year. I'm not sure. But that team is, no pun intended, they're a bunch of bulldogs. They got power arms on the mound, and their bats. I mean, they can swing it. They had the game won in the bottom of the ninth. There was a runner on first, and the hitter hit a ground roll double into the bullpen. If it doesn't go up, bounce over the fence, they beat UCLA. The pitcher got out of the inning, and then UCLA won the game in extra innings. But the Aggies were there. They look really strong. I talked about that too. Their rotation looks okay. Moss had a struggled on Saturday, and they got run ruled. UCLA whooped them pretty good, and they didn't like that, and they came back and won on Sunday. Did the Aggies? But big chatter. We had a couple Aggies in the booth, and all of them looking forward to April 12th in College Station.
Oh man, of course they are. Of course they are. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell joining us here, and World Series champion. I don't want to leave that out. I feel like I should mention that every time that we talk to Zeke. Last one for me. You know, we've talked a couple of times about the freshman pitchers on this Texas staff. And last Tuesday, it was Sam Cozart who got the ball. We haven't talked to you since he started, but 4 scoreless innings, 8 strikeouts in his first career start as a Longhorn. I think we're probably going to see him tonight against Houston Christian. But we'd love to get your thoughts on Cozart and Winter and Crossland and Walls, just what you've seen from these young freshman pitchers so far early here in the year.
They're not afraid. I mean, a lot of times that's a big thing when you get to this level after high school. You see some kids get out there and their cheeks get red and they want to squeeze blood out of the ball, and they just don't. The game speeds up on them is what I'm trying to say. And the game's not speeding up on these kids. They're throwing strikes. I mean, they listen to their pitching coach, their head coach. I mean, Max Wiener has these guys locked in. And plus, they're very talented. I mean, the arms are there. I think people get on Cozart because he looks like he's 40 years old. But if you shave the beard, he looks like a typical 18, 19-year-old. I think the beard is what gives it away. He looks like a mountain man. But they're all big. They're all big young men with really talent. I think the talent is in there. And they've all – Texas has played, I think, they got 11 or 12 pitchers that have 3 or more outings. And that's the thing. They're getting in the games. And how do you get in the keep pitching? You get the ball over the plate and you get people out. So it's not a bad problem to have. And I think we've talked about it on before, that teams sometimes get into conference play and all of a sudden you only rely on 1 or 2 pitchers. So they're going to be worn out, like Valances and Ruder. Those guys last year got worn out. And yep. If you can have 7, 8, 9, 10 guys that you can run out there, I mean, that's just a luxury. And it all starts once conference play, especially with Friday. If Ruger can give you 7 or 8 every Friday night, I mean, Texas is going to be a really tough pitching staff the entire season.
Greg, also, when you're a young pitcher, at one time you were a young pitcher, but you were probably playing in a lot of games early. You didn't have to wait around. But how patient do you have to be? Not the coaching staff with the pitcher, but the pitcher himself. They want to get in. They want to get more playing time. They got to get in. But you still have to be able to progress in the right way without actually getting on the mound a lot of times. I mean, practice. It seems that way in baseball, that you're just going to have to be patient for your time to come sometimes. And as you said, you're not going to get a lot of innings unless, you know, as you said, you get into conference play and the guys that are in front of you get a lot of innings in and they can rely on you. So your patience has to be there, but you have to keep progressing in the right way, correct?
You have to keep progressing in the right direction, and you have to be ready. It's like being a bench guy coming off the bench mm-hmm. to pinch hit or something. You can't just sit around. And, you want me to hit now with the bases loaded and getting 2 outs? I wasn't ready for this. You have to keep your tension ready throughout the game. And when you get the opportunity, whether it's a mop up roll where you're losing 15-0, or it's a close game where you're ahead 1-0, you have to be ready at every time and make every outing count, because once conference play, that's. I mean, when you go to Starkville or you go to Florida, you're not going to get the opportunity in front of those crowds, because there's 12 and 13,000 there. And if you can't pitch in front of 7 at the dish, how are you going to pitch in front of 13 or much less 30 in Omaha?
Yeah, that's well said. Great stuff, as always, Greg. Thanks so much for joining us, my friend. And we look forward to chopping it up next week.
Thank you, Greg.
All right. See you guys.
There he goes. Buddy. Legendary lifetime Longhorn Greg Swindell. Hopefully getting that hearing taken care of.
Yeah, that's a deal. That's something. I mean, he's a young guy. You wanna be able to hear your kids, your grandkids, and not be getting yelled at like I do. Hey, speak up over there.
Maybe that's the best part, right? If your hearing's bad and you got a wife yelling at you, it's like, I can't hear what you're saying.
It's just tough because you feel separated from everybody a lot of times because you can't join in on the conversation because you don't hear the conversation.
Right. You don't hear the conversation.
Like me, I can't see, but I can hear. I mean, you go to restaurants and I hear people's conversations all over. My wife is like, you can hear. I said, yeah, I can hear that one over there and that one over there. There's a bunch of them, but all she hears is a bunch of scatter. And then me, all she hears is a bunch of mumbling.
That guy just killed somebody. He just admitted it, and I heard the whole conversation.
Sorry about that.
That's you.
Oh, his money is where?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, great stuff from Zeke. And, yeah, look, this Texas team has been pretty flawless through their first 11 games of the year. Again, Houston Christian tonight, three games this weekend against USC upstate, and then the trip to San Marcos that he was talking about is next Tuesday, so 1 week from today. And then after that, Ole Miss is in town. Next weekend, conference play gets going.
Yeah, and he said it right. I mean, there's a guy who's a World Series champ, great, you know, a great college player, mm-hmm. that when you get the opportunity, you know, the opportunity comes before you get the opportunity. You have to be ready and focused before that happens. You can't just walk out there and been sitting around and doing nothing for the last week. And all of a sudden they said, hey, we need you to drive this run in.
Yeah.
Coach, it's two outs. And tonight, what do you mean? No, yeah, no, we expect you to go in there and drive this run. And you have to always be prepared. And he said it right. It's just everybody can't pitch every day. You know, you only get a couple guys on a Tuesday if you're not one of the starters. So when your time comes, where do you have to be ready?
Hey, I already packed my helmet and my batting gloves. I'm not ready. It's the ninth inning. I thought I was done here.
No, not quite.
Yeah. And look, these next four games, especially with Houston Christian and then the three against USC upstate, these should be pretty easy wins for Texas. So these should present some opportunities for some of the younger guys.
Who you can trust.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, Texas is going to start their starters, but if the Longhorns have a big lead by the fourth or fifth inning, then, hey, it's an opportunity for some of the backups to get in. It's
just as Greg said, it doesn't matter if you're up by 15 runs. When you go in there, you're expected to perform at a really high level.
That's it. Well, that's how you get more opportunities, right? Like early on, you don't get a lot of chances.
No.
If you screw up and the chances that you do get, then you're not going to get many more of them.
No, you're not.
But if you, I mean, look at Anthony Pack. Look, Anthony Pack was a opening day starter for Texas. But if he struggled out of the gates, then all right, they would have tried something new. And we've got this guy we brought in from the portal. We've got this other freshman. We could go in different directions here in the outfield. But Anthony Pack took his opportunity and ran with it. He looks like one of the best players on the team so far as a true freshman. So, yeah, you never know exactly when your number is going to get called, but the good news is just about everybody, when they have had their chances, has made the most of it, which is really cool to see. And, again, hopefully we see a lot more of it moving forward. And, again, I think we'll see Sam Cozart on the mound tonight. That's the guy with the size 18 shoe, Buck. Remember the custom made? He's got the Kobe's. They drilled holes in the bottom of the shoes to put some spikes in there. I think he'll get the bump tonight. And four scoreless innings last Tuesday, eight strikeouts against UTRGV. Hopefully we get a similar type of performance tonight against the Christians from Houston.
Yeah, Mr. Christian tonight.
Mr. Christian tonight. Sister Christian?
Sister Christian, yes.
Mr. Christian.
Whatever, Mr. or Sister.
You think they call their softball team, like the women's sports, they're all the Sister Christians?
Yes.
Is that how it works? That's what they should do. Yeah, formerly Houston Baptist University. I don't know how much longer I need to say that. They've been Houston Christian long enough to where I think everybody knows, but that's who Texas will play. And don't forget, we have a pair of tickets to give away for tonight's Texas baseball game.
Yeah.
If you want to be entered to win, we've got a few folks who have texted in already. Hit us up on the COTA text line, 512-222-9328. You send us any text between now and 11 o'clock, you will be entered to win that pair. The randomizer in person. You're going to get to see this thing right before your eyes. But yeah, we've got a pair of Texas baseball tickets we're giving away today. And then throughout the course of the week, we will have, I believe, four pairs of Texas OU basketball tickets for the people. The regular season finale, the last home game of the year for Texas basketball, and obviously a game against Oklahoma. So keep it locked in. Definitely follow our social media accounts as well for your opportunities to win some of these great giveaways that we're doing, obviously in conjunction with our friends at AM 1300, The Zone.
So where you can get the free iHeartRadio app?
Yeah. You don't even have to go to the zone to get it. You can just go to your app store on your phone and get it.
I mean, it's as easy as I can do it. and I've got it.
So easy the buck can do it.
It's so easy the buck can do it.
Yeah, it's
I like
free.
That.
Download the free iHeartRadio app. Catch our show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. Of course, if you're in Austin driving around, just pop on AM 1300. That works as well. But yeah, you can hear us digitally crystal clear on that free iHeartRadio app.
Before us, the great Craig Way, the Hall of Fame broadcaster, Craig Way.
That's pretty cool to follow that dude up
it
every
is.
Day.
It is.
The legendary Craig Way, who will probably be doing his show today at the Dish.
Okay.
He's been doing shows at the Dish. He's been doing shows at Daikin Park in Houston. He's been doing shows at basketball arenas around the country. I mean, the guy is a rambling man.
Where does he get around?
He was born in the back of a Greyhound bus. I think that song was about him.
Was it down Highway 41?
I think it's Highway 41. I can't remember which number it is, but I'm going to trust you on that one. So, yeah, download the free iHeartRadio app as well. And coming up, our faces are going to be on the duck boats again.
Yes,
downtown.
I'm loving it.
Get ready for that. All right, so Texas baseball tonight against Houston Christian. Again, hit us up for a chance to win that pair of tickets. In a moment, we'll get back into the Longhorn football conversation, talking about which position groups need to prove themselves. We also have to talk some Houston Texans football. The Texans made two trades yesterday that the Buck and I will break down. And then, of course, the BBK news as well. But before anything else, Buck, how about a few more sponsor shout-outs?
Our friends at Texas Orthopedics. If you're seeking that specialized, patient-focused orthopedic care, contact the experts and our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults, spinal care, sports medicine, trauma care, and joint replacement. Dr. Christopher Danny, Dr. Christopher Stockton are dedicated orthopedic surgeons there, and their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in Central Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. Love Texas Orthopedics. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, great people, and they will take care of you. Also, some love to our friends at CentexTickets.com. We're doing all these ticket giveaways, but unfortunately, not everyone can win. So
that's right.
If you still want to go to these games, just log on to CentexTickets.com. Texas baseball, Texas softball, Texas men's and women's basketball. Of course, Texas Stars hockey tickets, Austin Spurs tickets, and they've got San Antonio Spurs tickets. They'll have Houston Astros and Texas Rangers tickets when the MLB season begins. Y'all,
hey, MotoGP.
MotoGP coming to COTA. Yeah, obviously just had NASCAR at COTA. We've got more events coming to COTA this year. Sporting events, concerts, Broadway shows, festivals, comedy shows, you name it. You can find your seats all in one place, CentexTickets.com. And don't forget the promo code CentEx10. You type that in at checkout, you're going to get 10% off of any ticket purchase from our friends at CentexTickets.com. And also some love to McCall Custom Homes. Surprised you didn't call on Mike to help with your power. You call on that dude for everything.
No, I knew what was going on. When I saw it wasn't just the rectum spectrum, I saw it was the electricity. I went and, you know, you hit the fuse box and then you flip it back. And if that's not working, it's Perdinalis Electric. So he didn't have the big truck to go do that.
Hey, Mike, I just dropped a giant deuce and clogged my toilet. Can you come and watch it for me?
I'm not going to do that to Mike. He's very busy.
He's the man. And he's always tuned in, which is great.
Yes.
He's a big time Longhorn fan, great supporter of ours, and just a great guy to boot. And look, more importantly, he can help make your home a better place to live for family and for yourself. New kitchen, new bathroom. Maybe you've got a growing family you need to add on to your place. Maybe you want to add some new life to your outdoor space. McCall Custom Homes, they can do it all because they've been doing all of that for decades. It's a father-son team with more than 40 years of experience here in Central Texas. Custom home builders and renovators. They're licensed, they're insured, they're A-plus rated by the BBB. Tons of five-star reviews online. Buck, you and I were talking before the show today. I mean, you're sitting in my apartment. You're like, it's time for you to get out of here and get to a home.
Yeah, it is. It's time.
I'm like, I might need to talk to Mike and figure out what he's got going on. And whenever I do move into a home, I'm going to be calling that dude. And I'm like, hey, I just clogged the toilet.
Yeah, you know, it's very nice, though, Mike. He's very friendly with the neighbors. So there's a neighbor, the lady downstairs with her three kids.
Yeah.
I didn't see the husband. I was wondering, whose kids are these? Pretty friendly with that lady. Do you know those kids?
And putting in
some their names.
Yeah. Little Johnny, little Sarah. Yeah, they kind of look like me. Did you notice the blonde hair?
I noticed that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, McCall Custom Homes, look, we trust him with our homes. You should, too. 512-633-9580. That's his direct line. You call him or text him. He's going to get back to you right away. McCallCustomHomesATX.com is their website. You can check out the gallery of jobs that they've done over the years and reach out to them there as well. All right, Buck, let's a little more on this Texas football conversation, right? We started talking about the Longhorn offense and position groups that have something to prove, maybe the most to prove, once spring ball gets going next Monday. I like to flip things over to the defensive side of the football here. Is there a position room that you think has the most to show you and show us over the next month and change of spring practice?
Well, as a group, the secondary.
Yeah.
You know, group wise, how are they going to be a little bit more aggressive as secondary guys and not in that total 3D back pedal, even if they're not in 3D backing up? How are they going to play this man to man face up to guys in the SEC and get their hands on people and play some really tough defense? They struggle late in the year. Maybe it wasn't even late in the year. Maybe towards the middle of the season, they started to struggle a little bit. They were soft, you know, and it really, really showed. And as well as I thought the defensive line played, still the secondary just wasn't up to snuff. They suffered back there in that secondary.
100%.
And they've got to do a better job. And so I'll be interested to see how they progress this season.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, Texas's overall defensive numbers obviously took a big step back, you know, just compared to where they were in 2023 and 2024. But the Longhorns were third in the country, I believe, in sack rate last year. So the pass rush was really good. They had a top 15 rush defense in college football last year. So like you talked about, the defensive line was still really good. There's not a whole lot more they could have done up front to get the job done. Just the secondary took a big time step back. And that's why Dwayne Aquino was one and done in his second stint in Austin. Again, part of the big reason or big part of the reason why Pete Kwiatkowski is no longer the defensive coordinator here. So I'm with you on the secondary. You know, I think the safety room is really, really good. But this spring, and we touched on this yesterday, you know, three of the projected top five or six guys at safety are all either going to be limited or just not there for spring ball. Obviously, Jonah Williams is playing baseball right now. You've got Xavier Filsimi coming off offseason surgery. Zealous Hicks is dealing with a foot injury. So I don't know if those guys are going to be ready to go by the time things start on Monday.
They have enough players. They have enough athletes that are going to get some opportunities. And you need to show that, hey, listen, I don't only want to be a backup to somebody. I want to be a starter. And if this guy's not ready and he's still banged up, we get to fall camp, you can trust me. Sure. You can count on me.
And Jelani McDonald, we know he's a starter. He's got one of those positions locked down already, but he'll be there. Derek Williams Jr., a guy we talked about yesterday, remember, got off to a great start in the first year and a half of his Texas career. Tore his ACL in the Oklahoma game in 2024.
Not been the same since.
Missed the rest of that season. And then, yeah, just wasn't quite the same player in 2025. But I'm excited to see what he could do. And he's going to get all these new opportunities with some of those guys who will be unavailable in the spring. And then Jordan Johnson-Rebell, another name to keep in the back of your mind. So they have enough safeties to where they can do all the drills that they need to do and make sure guys are actually getting trained at practice. But
yeah, and for Jonah, it's important. This is going to be an important, I think, transition year for him for one sport or the other. I mean, if he has just a great year in baseball, they do some great things. He may be, you know, he'll want to continue to play football, but he's going to have to start thinking about his future and especially the wear and tear on his body. Yes, it's a young body, and yeah, they can do some things, but, you know, at this level, they ask an awful lot out of your time and you know, having to hit the weight room and if you're trying to play two sports, much less when you play one sport, you don't have much time to rest. Trying to play two sports, when you get to rest, you know?
That's a great question. And look, Steve Sarkisian and Jim Schlossnagel have a great relationship. They've both talked about their relationship and the way they handle the Jonah Williams conundrum. But obviously, it's interesting. I mean, Jonah Williams is a key player on this Texas baseball team. He had a couple of hits on Sunday in the Longhorns' victory over Ohio State.
Yeah, and what is his future going to be? I mean, obviously, it's going to be one or the other. So I don't see it being both.
Yeah, but I think he wants, you know, his short-term future at Texas to be both. And again, it's can he keep showing up to baseball every day? I mean, they play every Tuesday and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Obviously, there's a lot of travel that's going to start happening when we dip into conference play. And then, you know, Texas spring practice happening a few times a week. Is he able to do both? He's obviously not going to be at every spring practice, but can he show up to enough of them to where he can get the reps he needs at safety, get that opportunity to impress Blake Gideon, who's obviously back as the safeties coach at Texas, get the chance to impress Will Muschamp? Like, can he get enough chances to just show that he's not a depth guy and a guy who's just going to be buried on the bench when we get the football season this fall? Will he have enough opportunities to showcase the fact that football recruit?
Yeah, and one thing is this baseball season hopefully will be a long one in Omaha. And like I said, the wear and tear, I mean, it doesn't, for me, for him, seeing much of spring, it's not that important. It's when he gets to the fall camp. Is he, by that time, is he got to gather himself back? Is he healthy enough? Does he have some nagging thing that's, you know, that is a product of baseball and yeah, a different type of stretching, the different kind of muscle usage when he gets to football, because he's got to then get to football and he's got to show that he's not just, I'm going to contribute here or there. I want to be a starter. I got to play, but can my body let me play? You know?
Yeah, it's a great
question.
Can I
do these things? You know?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's what matters more.
Right.
Like,
the spring doesn't matter to me for him. It means when he gets there in the fall camp and they get ready for games, is his body able to take the kind of punishment? It's going to be a different kind of punishment on the football field for him. And if his body's not able to take it, and he's going to be missing a bunch of practices, well, I still got some things that are still nagging me from baseball. Like I said, he'll eventually, I think this is a telltale year, especially at baseball, what he wants to do.
Will he have enough time in the summer and in fall camp?
I think so.
To get ready for football season?
I believe so.
He's healthy, like you're talking about. That's obviously a big key.
I believe so. I think if he's got the natural ability as a safety in football and his body can do it and he's healthy enough and he doesn't have anything nagging him going into to fall camp, yes, because he's not going to get that. He's not going to be out there in spring. The baseball team is too important. The baseball team is probably going to go to Omaha. They're going to get them. They're going to be playing some really big games. He's going to be involved in that. He's not going to run over to spring practice and defend a couple guys on defense. He doesn't have to do that.
He's the type of guy who probably wants to do that. Right?
Well, he wants to, but yeah, the head coach in both those positions are both sports are going to say no. You go do this.
Yeah.
You'll be fine in the fall. Just don't come to me injured.
Right.
That's what I don't want to see.
Yeah, that'd be the worst thing.
Absolutely.
For everybody. So that's the safety spot. Obviously, replacing Michael Taft. We know how much he meant to this Texas defense over the last couple of years, both as a player and a leader. But they're good in that safety room. Again, they're a little short-handed going into the start of spring practice, but I do think that whole room will be a strength of the team when we get to the season.
And who will be their leader? Who will? There generally is one or two guys that just lead. You know, it's not just the position guy. It's the true leader back in your secondary who now steps up and becomes that person.
I think it's got to be Jelani McDonald, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He's your most experienced starter back there at both safety and corner. And, I mean, he was one of your best players on your defense last year. He's a guy that made every Texas fan happy when he announced that he was returning to Austin for one more season. I think he might be your best player. He's your most experienced guy. He's the guy that sort of on paper fits that bill.
True.
And I've been told that he's doing a good job in winter workouts, kind of taking more of a leadership role. If you're good enough,
you're old enough.
Well, he's old. He's.
I mean, for some of the younger guys.
Well, how hard is it for the young guys to emerge in leadership roles?
It's tough because you're not playing until you get to games
right
where you do it. It's tough. I mean, you can be the rah-rah guy in the spring and the fall, but until you get into, you know, SEC play, it's going to be, let's see what you're really all about.
Now, plenty of young guys are yapping and talking the entire time.
True. They're secondary guys. They never stop yapping.
Is anybody listening to them?
No, that's the thing. Those dudes never stop talking.
Well, you're right. And then for me, I think cornerback is my biggest question mark on this entire defense, maybe on the entire team. I mean, obviously the offensive line is in that conversation too. We talked about them a little
bit. Yeah, you need
earlier.
An aggressive corner on one side. Somebody's going to have to be that guy that goes out there and is not going to be backing up. It's going to be right in the guy's face and not in trail mode, just right with him when it comes to whether it's zone or man-to-man coverage.
Yeah, I mean, is Cade Phillips really ready going into his true sophomore season? Took a starting position away from Jalen Gilbo down the stretch last year.
He held that position, which was that I thought eventually that he was going to end up being a backup, but he ended up getting that starting role and played a lot of games.
There's a lot to like about Cade Phillips' game. I mean, this staff, you know, he was a very highly touted recruit, number one. Mm-hmm. And we heard some great things last spring and last fall about Cade Phillips and the way he was impressing coaches and clearly just kept getting better as the year went along. So he's great. But again, year two, first time being a full-time starter for this Texas team, potentially going up against some of the number one wide receivers. I mean, Jeremiah right. Smith obviously looms large for Texas in that second week of the season. How ready is he? Bo Masco, the transfer from Rutgers. You know, Grayson Littleton, he was the star last year, started game one as a true freshman, which is absolutely insane, and held that spot all year long. He was very good. But there's been some rumblings that he's been getting some work at one of the outside corner spots this year. So do they move him from the inside to the outside? Remember, they did that with Jahdae Barron a couple of years ago. And actually, they moved him from the outside to the inside a couple of years ago. He ended up winning the Thorpe Award. So they've had success moving guys around in the secondary. But where does Grayson Littleton go?
Yeah, Grayson looks like he's very happy where he is and very settled in where he is. Boy, that would scare me to move him around.
Right, right. It's yeah, you know, I feel like the outside corner is almost easier to play because you don't have to deal with the two-way go, right? You get that sideline as your extra yes. defender. The fact that Grayson Littleton, as a true freshman, you know, held his own in the Ohio State game, held his own in the SEC, was able to look as impressive as he did at his age is ridiculous.
It's like you don't want to mess with him.
Right, that's fair. I'm kind of with you on that. And then, you know, Kobe Black, Warren Roberson, we talked about those guys. Are either of the freshmen ready to go? Smoke Matthews, Hayward Howard Jr. Point is, for me, there's a ton of talent. They've recruited really well there. Mm-hmm. It's a bunch of 4- and 5-star guys. It's just there's not a lot of experience in that cornerback room. And obviously this spring, they're, you know, these guys are going to be competing. I think spots there.
And when you bring a guy like Blake Gideon, who was a defensive coordinator for a year at Georgia Tech, and you bring him back to coach a position, that's big time. He's now gotten a lot of experience on a lot of things when it comes to secondary and just defensive play. This is going to be the big help. I think the coaching move, more so than anything, is really going to help the secondary.
I think you're right. And, yeah, you just look at the entire Texas defensive staff right now. Obviously, with Blake Gideon,
yep.
you've got Mark Orfeh back from last year. But, of course, Will Muschamp coming in as the defensive coordinator. We talked about the Mark Stoops hire earlier today. So you've got some really good established defensive minds
yes, you do.
Coaching up these young players, and hopefully they're able to get the most out of them. But that's – yeah, I'm going to be a little nervous week two in Ohio State. It's not just Jeremiah Smith. I mean, those guys yeah. have like multiple 5-star receivers on the roster every single year. When those guys come to Austin, that will obviously be a big-time test to see what the Texas secondary is looking like.
Yeah, I mean, I can see them being even better against the run game with these linebackers that they've brought in.
Yeah.
So I think that defensive line will do the things that they have to do, the pressure of the quarterback when it comes to the passing game. But stuff in the run will be – always number one.
For you.
Yes. Yes. Stopping the run game will be number one. Just like every other team that tries against Texas, boy, they have for the last years just stood up to it.
It's been great to watch.
It has been.
Yeah, don't want that taking a step
back. Oh, no, you can't.
For sure. All right, so we will continue our Texas football spring preview throughout the course of the week. Buck, a little NFL conversation, though.
Yes.
Houston Texans made two trades yesterday. I think the bigger headline maker was the fact that the Houston Texans acquired running back David Montgomery from the Detroit Lions in exchange for offensive lineman Juice Scruggs, a 4th-round pick in this year's draft, and a 7th-rounder in next year's draft. Your first thoughts on the David Montgomery trade?
First of all, I don't even know how Detroit let that guy loose. I know who they have, but the combo of those two guys in Detroit was fabulous. I don't know why you changed that. That's for no matter what you get out of that, that's a huge trade and a huge loss for the Detroit Lions. But I think it's a great gift for the Texans. They need to have a stable number one guy at running back, and they have just that. Not only that, is they got a young guy who can learn behind him, which is going to be good because I think the kid from last year, Mark, I think he was a guy that needed to have somebody as a number one where he then came into games instead of putting the pressure on him. This is going to help their offense a lot.
Well, you talk about David Montgomery being a stable number one back. I don't know how you could say that considering he has not been a number one back for the last three seasons.
But he plays like one.
Well, he plays a lot. Last year,
and
he actually
plays like one.
Well, I mean, he had 700 yards last year. Is that number one back status for you?
Well, for me, if they didn't have Gibbs, he would have had over 1,000 yards. Right. He's had it before.
Well, that's my question. Is
like, I still think he's good enough to do it.
He's 28 going on 29. This is not the time you add more carries to a guy's plate typically.
I'm not going to, you know, there have been two players that have come out of college that I've totally made mistakes on when I said I don't know how long they're going to last in the NFL. One was the wide receiver from Texas A&M, who plays for Tampa Bay, who's now going to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. That's one. Number two is David Montgomery. Every year I go, is that guy still playing in the NFL? How does he do it?
Huh?
I mean, he's not, you know, when he's with the Bears, he wasn't anything special, but that guy's special enough to be very good and still remain in the NFL and still be very productive. And the last couple of years, BK, I thought not only has he been productive, he's got a little bit better. Now, yardage-wise, when you're sharing with Gibbs, you know, you can't have – you got to – Gibbs is going to get the ball. I mean, he's a long-run threat. And so, but Montgomery has – he's not slowing down to me. It's like he's either the same as when he first came into league and very, very good, or he's gotten a little bit better. I don't see him slowing down with age right now.
Well,
I like the Texans. I think this is good for the Texans.
It's coming off of a season with career lows in rushing attempts and touches, despite playing in all 17 games. It's not like he was hurt. He was healthy all year long. His role was just significantly reduced. Obviously, the Lions, they lost Ben Johnson, who was their offensive coordinator 2 years ago. He took the head coaching job at Chicago, so it was a new guy running the offense. And
Jahmyr Gibbs, they're going to play him. I mean,
oh yeah. Well, remember Dan Campbell took over calling the plays,
right?
And it was late last year where David Montgomery was barely playing at all,
right?
So like the head coach is like, clearly he didn't like that guy very much. And I think the big reason this is happening, it's not like the Lions don't like David Montgomery. It's money. Like, he was due to make a good chunk of money,
sure,
this year. And they're like, well, we've got other holes that we need to address because we missed the playoffs last year after being the one seed in the conference the year before. So let's maybe get rid of a backup and use that money to fix some of the other problems that we have, especially on defense.
At this part of his career, I think he's still better than Joe Mixon. Even a healthy Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon 2 years ago, that's a better year than David Montgomery has ever had in the NFL.
Yeah, but I don't see Joe Mixon getting
back. No, I don't either. Like, the Texans needed to do something at running back. Giving up a fourth-round pick for a running back who's about to turn 29 years old, who's coming off of his worst season in the league, it feels like a lot to give up. Now, they needed a running back. I'm not going to disagree with you there. I mean, Joe Mixon, it sounds like they're going to cut him because he's due to make a lot of money, and you just have no idea what he's going to be.
The mystery injury, the foot injury.
Right, exactly. Nick Chubb is a pending free agent.
Yeah, and speaking of old.
Yeah, so it's, you know, Woody Marks, like you said, the fourth rounder out of USC,
yep.
Solid rookie year. He's going to be back on your squad next year, but you needed more at the running back position. And again, I'm okay with the Texans going out and making a move to acquire somebody, but I feel like a fourth rounder for a running back going on 29 is... You know, plus a seventh rounder and Juice Scruggs too. That's
more than it's a lot to give up.
Yeah, I think it's a lot to give up. That dude has a lot of tread on his tires. I would like to still see the Texans draft a running back.
Sure.
Not with their first round pick, but maybe something on day two or potentially another day three guy like Woody Marks, because I still think they need more in their backfield.
That's what I was going to ask you. Did they still need more?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, clearly, I'm lower on David Montgomery than you.
Well, that's that. You're like I was on David Montgomery,
right?
Thinking, how's that guy still playing in the NFL?
And look, he's had a solid career. Like, considering he was a third round pick coming out of Iowa State, like he's had a very impressive career, better than a lot of people expected. And being a running back going into your age 29 season,
yes,
is the fact that people want you and are willing to trade picks, plural, and a player for you is a big, big deal. But yeah, the last 2 years for Montgomery,
and he's an okay hands guy. I mean, when Ben Johnson was there, they would throw to both those guys. And I don't think he caught near as many passes.
No, and the Texans are a win now type of team.
Yes,
they're not like, oh, let's get this young running back in 3 or 4 years. They're looking for
two guys
who can help them win like right now. Montgomery's got 1 year left on his current contract. Obviously, they could re-sign him
if he has the kind of year and they get to the place that they want to get to, they'll sign him again.
Yeah.
If he does a good job for them. So this is a good chance for him.
Maybe. Yeah, great opportunity for him. Because as of now, like you said, he's the number one running back in Houston. So he was never going to be that guy in Detroit as long as Jahmyr Gibbs was there. And they've already paid him. And why would you not? He's awesome. But yeah, that was one move for the Texans. And then this one, more of a head scratcher. Didn't make as many headlines because I think everybody knows David Montgomery and not everybody knows offensive linemen on the Houston Texans. But Titus Howard, former first-round pick, the starting right tackle for the Texans this past season, Houston shipped him off to Cleveland in exchange for a fifth-round pick this year. And he's been in Houston for 7 years, played pretty much everywhere. He's been a tackle, he's been on the left side, he's been on the right side, he's been a guard. Like, not an amazing player by any stretch, but
been
solid.
Consistent enough, right?
Last year, he graded out as their best offensive lineman last year. And he was far from their biggest problem on their offensive line last
How
year.
get
That
rid of
was
that
not
dude?
very good. So, the Browns traded for him, and then they paid him a big contract. Now, Titus Howard was not a free agent. He had one more year on his current deal, so the Texans didn't have to do this. But, yeah, a little surprising because, again, it felt like he was one of, if not the most consistent piece they had on the offensive line. And Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans, I guess, were like, dude, this whole offensive line was so bad, we're blowing this entire thing
up.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds like.
So we'll see if it works. But only as of right now, only two of the five starters on the Texans offensive line from last year are under contract for this coming year.
Yeah, they got to protect their quarterback.
Yeah, they do. That's the whole thing.
Yeah,
right?
they're going to be eyeballing him this year. So they got to protect him, at least give him an opportunity.
That's the whole bit. And like part of the reason people think C.J. Stroud has fallen off as far as he has is because sure. The offensive line hasn't been good enough. And well, you're trading your half decent offensive lineman for fifth round picks. It's like an interesting bit right there. So I don't know. I mean, the Texans have, pick number 28 in the first round. I think just about everyone expects them to take an offensive lineman there. Problem is Nick Caserio, their GM, has not been good at drafting O-linemen. They took the kid Kenyon Green.
And they're not like the Cowboys?
Right. Well, yeah, they draft as many as the Cowboys do, but yes. The Cowboys have actually done better, believe it or not. But yeah, Kenyon Green out of A&M, former first-round pick.
He was terrible.
Total flop. They shipped him out of town. Juice Scruggs, the guy they traded for David Montgomery. That guy was a second-round pick. He's a huge – I was in Houston covering the team at the time. Huge reach. People thought he was like a fourth or a fifth rounder. The Texans felt like, they knew something that everybody else didn't.
They didn't.
Bum. They just traded him. Blake Fisher was a second round pick. Like, they have really missed on a lot of their high draft picks. So, look, they've got money. They could just be bracing to spend a lot of it in free agency, and maybe they're going to make a trade to acquire another offensive lineman. But, yeah, it's a win-now type of team. If I'm a Texans fan, I'm like, please don't build through the draft on this offensive line. Like, you could take a first rounder, that's great, but don't take like four guys and expect all of them to be starters here. You'll
take some fifth round pick and expect him to be all pro.
Right. Now, maybe Trent Williams finally leaving San Francisco. If that happens, I know that guy's like 75 years old.
And he'll be expecting a new contract. Every place he goes, he gets a new contract, or he doesn't play until game one.
And maybe the Texans will take a flyer on that dude and say, hey, man, just can you give us one or two more years, please? We'll pay you a ton of money.
We get Tunsil back.
He'll be our left tackle. Yeah, they traded Tunsil last year, too. I don't think they want Tunsil back.
No.
But I'm fascinated to see what the Texans' plans are because I figured Titus Howard, I knew they were going to make a lot of changes offensively, but
wow.
I figured Howard was going to be one of those dudes who was at least a part of things in 2026. Now they move on from him. David Montgomery coming in. But, yeah, I'm sure Montgomery and C.J. Stroud are talking. Montgomery asked C.J., like, who's going to block for us this year? And C.J. is like, I don't know.
I think David Montgomery is going to have a good year for them. I think that's going to take a lot of pressure off the quarterback. But, as you said, you still got to have offensive linemen.
Yeah, you do. You got to have offensive linemen. They've got receivers.
Yes, they do.
Tank Dell coming off that injury, too. He could be back to the guy he was before. Obviously, Nico Collins is a stud. It feels like it's the Houston Cyclones because they got the two young Iowa State receivers. And they got three Iowa State receivers on their team, plus now David Montgomery coming in. So they've got some talented pieces out there. But, yeah, obviously, C.J. Stroud, it's a big year for him. And, Texans fans, I don't want to say they don't care about the regular season. It's not like a Kansas City Chiefs situation where it's, I know the Chiefs missed the playoffs. Maybe this metaphor doesn't work anymore. But for a while, Chiefs fans were like, all right, when did the playoffs start? Like, we know we're going to win the division.
Yeah.
We know we're going to be a high seed.
By the way, if Jeremiah Love makes it to number 9 and they pick him up, you can be assured they'll be back in it again.
Yeah, see you later, league.
Good Lord.
You enjoy the 1 year. Where
they're not going to let that. That's not going to happen, though. He's not going to be around. They're going to have to move up to get him.
Nah, I think he'll be there at 9. I think.
You do?
Things typically fall the Chiefs' way, don't they?
Somehow, yes.
Somehow, some way, they fall the Chiefs' way.
Right.
I think Jeremiah Love's going to be there at 9. I think he's going to be the pick at 9. And then, watch out, everybody else. But, for the Texans, look, they're not at Kansas City's level, but they've won the division a lot. They've made the playoffs a lot. They've won a game in the playoffs a lot. It's just, can they take that next step? That's what this whole year is based on. Can this team finally get to an AFC championship game? They haven't gotten there in their franchise's history. They've been knocking on the door the last 3 years, but obviously hasn't happened just yet. So that's what the job is for Nick Caserio and his front office, and obviously D'Amico Ryans as well. Our guy Longhorn Bear says Jeremiah Love will be gone in the first 7 picks. You might be right. He might be right.
Yeah, somebody's gonna. I think somebody's gonna make that. Somebody's gonna make that decision on this running back, and it may be the Giants, the New York Football Giants.
Well,
you know.
Let me ask you this. I know I'm biased with my answer, and maybe you'll be biased with your answer too. But do you think Jeremiah Love is a better prospect coming out of college than Bijan Robinson was?
That's interesting.
I bring that up to tell you that Bijan was the eighth pick in the 2023 draft. I thought Bijan was pretty much the perfect running back prospect, and he's been pretty much the perfect running back in the league so far. Just sucks that he's playing in Atlanta. But like I like Bijan more than I like Jeremiah Love, and he fell all the way to eight. So I don't know. It's very rare for running backs to even go that high.
Yeah, that's
people are talking about four or five or six. I could be wrong, but I don't think he's going to go that high.
Yeah, I mean, what does he remind me of? He reminds me of a bigger Saquon Barkley, just a bigger.
Well, Saquon went number two.
Yes. And that was chance. At that time, I thought it was a great move.
Yeah.
I did. I said that's once in a generational guy that you just got right there.
So last year, Ashton Jeanty was the sixth pick in the draft.
No.
Coming out of Boise. Obviously, the Heisman runner-up 2 years ago. No first-round running backs in 2024. Bijan went eight. Jahmyr Gibbs went 12 in 2023.
And people couldn't believe that.
No first-round running backs in 22. Najee Harris went 24th. He was the first running back taken in 2021. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, speaking of the Chiefs, was the last pick of the first round in 2030. So I bring that up to say, like, we have not seen a running back drafted in the top five since Saquon in 2018. So it's been a while.
Yeah, I think of him as a big Saquon. I mean, you know.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you, Jeremiah Love could be, if that guy needed to play wide receiver, BK, he could get out there as a big stud out there as a wide receiver. He's got great hands.
Yeah. 6 feet, 215 pounds.
Oh, and he plays like he's 230 the way he runs.
Back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons at Notre Dame. Look, I think he's a stud. I think he's going to be a really good running back.
He ran like 4.3, didn't he? 4.32, I think.
I think 4.36 was the time for Jeremiah Love. So he's going to go high, but I don't know. I think he's going to fall to the Chiefs just because it's the Chiefs. They got the devil magic on their side.
You're wanting him at number nine. You want him. Yes, of course.
Yeah, selfishly, I would like to see Jeremiah Love in Kansas City. My Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't want to see him get to the Giants. The Giants are thinking Saquon Barkley. They got another opportunity at a guy like that. They're not going to let it pass by with their young quarterback.
No love for Scataboo? What about Camp Scataboo?
Okay. Remember, that's guy had his ankle on backwards a year ago.
I know. But everyone's talking about him being the future there at running back. It's him and Jackson Dart, you know?
What are they? They got the fifth pick, I believe.
They are fifth. Yep.
Wow.
Do they dare take another running back? I mean, they won nothing with Saquon. They can't take another running back. They won nothing with that dude and let him go for free.
And then they handed him over to Philly.
Philly. They won a Super Bowl. Yes. That's the thing. Like, if you're, that's why Kansas City is like, yeah, you know, you have a Super Bowl roster. So take a guy who can help you win right now. But if you're a team, like the Jets or Arizona or Tennessee. Or
Kansas City is one of those teams they need to move up. They need to make sure that he's there at nine. Whatever they have to do to get him, they need to get him. They need a runner.
Like they're the only team in the top 10.
They can't keep relying on the dude from Rutgers.
Oh, Isaiah Pacheco?
Yeah.
Yeah. They could use more weapons on
him. Yeah, his shelf life was going to be short the way he ran anyway. He's not that big. Now
Kelsey may be done. Still waiting on an announcement for him. The receivers can't stay out of jail. And the running backs just are very average right now. So they got to get Mahomes a little bit more. So, yeah, you and I are in agreement. I think everyone's in agreement. Like, Jeremiah Love on the Chiefs would be awesome for the Chiefs.
Yes, it would be.
But does he get there to nine? Vegas, the Jets, Arizona, Tennessee, the Giants.
Tennessee's another one that could take Jeremiah Love.
What are they going to do with him?
Waste land. Just waste them.
Like talk about Bijan, like being in a graveyard in Atlanta. That's going to be Jeremiah Love.
At least he's got a chance.
Waterloo. I'm talking about Waterloo Printing now because someone just commented in right there. We'll get to that comment in a second. Cleveland at six, Washington at seven, New Orleans at eight.
New Orleans could be another one. You're gonna have to fight with New Orleans to get Love, I believe.
Yeah, God, all those teams feel really bad.
Yeah, I know.
And then you get to Kansas City. And then Cincinnati at 10. It's like you feel like if Joe Burrow can actually stay healthy through a year, they can be good again. But most of the teams, so they're drafting in the top 10 for a reason.
I think as our texter said, I think he'll be gone. He's going to go early.
I'd be right. Might be right. He definitely helped himself.
Nick.
Yeah, he helped himself in Indy. Shout out to Julie. Ordered early bird and some shirts from Adam and his team at Waterloo Printing yesterday. Happy belated birthday, BK.
Yeah.
That was my birthday request from you people out there, was to support our sponsors. And Julie coming through.
Way to go, Julie. Thank you so much.
Two of our great sponsors. Yeah, much appreciated. And yeah, we love when you all support our sponsors. That's the best way you support us.
Absolutely.
Because the sponsors are the only reason we're allowed to do this show each and every day. So thank you for that, Julie.
Yeah, and if you want to become a sponsor, let us know too. That'll help.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Absolutely.
We'll absolutely take that. Yeah, Adam and his great team at Waterloo Printing and Graphics, by the way. If you need merch, hats, shirts, stickers, whatever, reach out to him. You can call or text him directly, 512-300-9641. Shoot him a DM on Instagram at Waterloo Printing. Any other sponsors for you? Oh, Woods Comfort.
Yeah, let me say to those guys at Woods Comfort Systems, of course, now my electricity's off, so there's nothing going on.
Not their fault.
Not their fault. They didn't have anything to do with it. But when it comes to plumbing, heating, and air conditioning, nobody does it better, folks. For 70 years in Central Texas, they have been getting it done. But do trust in their plumbing. You know, there's all types of different plumbers you can call on. But if they do quite the job that they've done when it comes to air conditioning and heating, believe me, their plumbing unit is going to be fantastic. Their technicians are amazing. They do great work. They get there on time. They don't hang out. They just get there, get their work done, and they're out of the place. And then everything's fixed. Don't try to do things yourself when it comes to those type of things, plumbing and heating. Plumbing for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to heating and air conditioning, trust in the folks at Woods Comfort Systems. As I said, nobody does it better.
And woodscomfortsystems.com is their website. 512-842-5066 is the phone number to call. All right, a pretty abbreviated edition of the BBK News as we wrap things up here on a Tuesday show. Buck, how's your lentil season treating you?
So far, so good.
No ice cream consumed?
Well, it was a mistake.
Oh, no.
I didn't make a mistake.
What happened?
I had a, you know, a Frosty.
No way. You went to Wendy's and got a Frosty?
I went there and got one of those little baked potatoes that they have. You know, they have baked potatoes with the works.
Yeah.
And I ordered a Frosty, and I didn't even think of the lentils. I'm sorry.
No way.
It happened.
And you weren't going to admit that? You were going to try to keep that a secret?
Well, yes, I was. I was, because, you know, we all make mistakes. Even the Lord knows I can make a mistake or two, or six or 12.
Chocolate Frosty or Vanilla Frosty?
I went, they had a swirl.
Oh, you went with the swirl?
Yeah, man.
Oh,
is that good?
Talk about a slap in the face to God right there.
I'm sorry. And I didn't realize it until I was halfway through with it, but I didn't stop at that.
I thought I was going
to. Are you supposed to stop at that?
I don't know. You're the Catholic.
I'm just.
You're asking the Jew.
I'm just thinking that you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to waste that. Because that's being wasteful.
No, yeah. Once it's ordered, you got to eat it.
Well, once you start and then you say, oh, no, I wasn't supposed to do that. You're not supposed to put it down and throw it away.
Did you realize like midway through?
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah. Oh, my goodness, that was supposed to be my deal.
Why does this taste so good?
Why is this tasting so good? So I haven't had it because I'm not supposed to have it. I said I wouldn't do it, but I did it. But I did. You know, I've already done my 6 months thing of not having ice cream. I made it that far.
Yeah.
All the way to Christmas. So
does that count, though? Can you use like the goodwill built up from that?
And God understands I'm not perfect.
Okay,
he's got that in mind already.
It's pretty forgiving.
Pretty much so, especially when it comes to me.
He's
had to forgive me many occasions.
Way worse than that.
Yes, way worse than that.
Oh my gosh. Well, then I guess I'll come clean and say that my lentil run came to an end this past Saturday. Remember, I was trying to go to the gym every single day.
Oh yeah.
Saturday was a tough one for me. Just busy day. Was hanging out with friends, was at a birthday party, went out to dinner with some friends. I mean, it was like 11:45. I was over at my girlfriend's place, and she has an apartment with a gym.
You're
like,
almost there.
I'm like, I got to go. I was very drunk. I'm like, I got to. She's like, no, you're going to hurt yourself.
Oh,
like,
no.
I'm like, I have to go. Like, I have to keep this around. She's like, no, I'm not going to let you.
So now you're done with it? Now you're going to miss days?
So I went hard on Sunday. I got doubled up, you know, because I missed Saturday. And yesterday, even on my birthday, I went to the gym, got a lift in. So I don't think those are the rules. I feel like, you know, you're supposed to keep it going every single day and not slip up. So I did
slip
up. Did
you slip up? I mean, like I said, to me, it wasn't me doing it on purpose. Like, I know I'm not supposed to have this. I just ordered something. And like I do, if I go to a Wendy's or someplace like that, I'll get that Frosty. It just happened. Then as I'm eating it, I'm like, oh, no, this is ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't whatever those other yogurt. This is real ice cream. You can't do that.
It's Frosty Mix. I don't know if it counts as real ice cream.
Maybe that's the stuff I think in Mickey D's. That's not real ice cream. That's what I was told.
Does that mean you're okay since it was Frosty Mix? Like I had a good friend who worked at Wendy's back in high school, and he's like, "That's just Frosty Mix. It's not real ice cream."
No, you, once you know that you've done it, you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt bad and just asked for a little forgiveness, and I said, "You've forgiven me on plenty of occasions worse than this. I think you can let this one go. I didn't really mean to do that. I wasn't trying to break the rules."
I thought I was going to torture you with this story here, but now I don't feel that bad. Our friends at Bluebell have announced their first new flavor of the 2026 calendar year. How about a honey vanilla buck?
Seems kind of sweet.
Does that do anything for you?
No, not, no.
No, it seems kind of sweet, like not sweet as good, like too sweet,
too sweet
for you
too
to
sweet.
Eat.
Yeah, I've turned into an Amy's guy anyway.
Oh, you're out on Bluebell.
Yeah, I've
not at home. Do you ever eat ice cream at home? Oh, your wife won't let you bring it in the house.
No. I go to Amy's to one of their places.
How you got to sneak out when you're running your errands, like before you come home, make sure the ice cream is consumed, the cup is thrown away there.
It has to be.
Can't make it in the car.
The scene of the crime in my car. No, it has to be gone before.
No spoon, no napkins allowed in there.
No, can't do that.
Oh, okay. Well, what do you get at Amy's typically then?
I get Mexican vanilla. I like Mexican vanilla. I do butter pecan.
Okay.
You know, every once in a while, Amy's will have black cherry, it's called.
Yeah.
Because you don't get it all the time. You can get some cherry ice cream. But I love black cherry ice cream when I can get that. So every once in a while, they'll come up with that. And I've been not going there.
Okay.
I made the one mistake. And now I feel like I can make another, but I'm not going to.
And you've already given it up once, right? Doesn't it feel like...
No, now it won't be an accident now.
Maybe your second time like offsets the first one, you know, like a double negative situation here?
No, it won't be. If I do it again, that's not an accident. That means I've given up on doing that for Lent.
Oh, man.
But I am going to do the Whataburger because I've been cheating on Mickey D's. I've been going to, was it Culver's?
Culver's. It's right by here.
Oh, man.
You know how close it is to my place.
I'm telling you what, man. They have decent food there.
You got to get them as a sponsor.
I know.
So much free pub for those dudes.
God, they do a good job.
Yeah, they do a good job.
It's not, their fried food isn't as fried as you think. You know, it has that light battered taste.
But it's a good cop, bad cop, since they're not a sponsor, so you can praise them and all say their food sucks. So it's like no one actually knows if they're good or not.
Walleye. Loving the walleye there.
Big walleye day for
yes,
you.
Yes, indeed.
So there you go. Yeah, I'll try the honey vanilla on your behalf.
Please do.
I'm a Bluebell guy.
Let me know
still about
that.
Amy's, though, you can't go wrong. I mean, that's... You know, local. We're supporting local Austin companies always. So there you go. We'll save. We're going to have a very long BBK news tomorrow.
Sweet.
Because we have multiple student-teacher relationship stories to get into.
Boy.
And most people feel like you about those. I love those. Those are my favorite stories. It's so awesome when those happen. It's just great. So we'll have that. Plenty more Texas football conversation. We'll talk Texas basketball. Of course, the Longhorns back in action tomorrow night in Fayetteville. So we will preview that game and so much more. We'll have some great guests as well. But that'll do it for this one. Thanks for coming over,
man. Thank you for having me at the pad. I got to go see if the electricity's on.
Yeah.
See if I can get up there on the pole and get some things done.
Don't do that.
No.
This will be your last show if you're trying to do that.
I'm going to find out if the black helicopters, what are they called?
The Black Cocks.
Yeah, the Hawks.
Yeah, the Hawks.
Yeah, see if they're coming again.
Yes, indeed. All right, that'll do it for us. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. We will talk to y'all tomorrow.
Welcome.
Welcome.